Well, hello there, welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to talk about post-race analysis. Over the weekend, I just competed in a triathlon. It was the Calgary 70.3 Ironman. And so what I'm going to do in this video is I'm going to show you my race plan, followed by how do I do a post-race analysis. Basically saying, well, did I follow the plan? So did I execute how I wanted to? Or did stuff fall apart? So put on the glasses and we are going to go into it. Now, I've already given you a video about how to create a race plan. Now, if you have not watched that video, I highly recommend you to go watch that video. And before your race, print it out and create your own race plan. This is a very important step before doing your next triathlon, especially if you want to make it successful. I'm quickly going to go through my race plan for the 70.3. I have a table here with a goal time, pacing goal, nutritional goal, mental focus, and I've broken it down to breakfast time, pre-race, the swim, first transition, the bike, second transition, run, and then post-race. And I'm going to cover each of these items very, very briefly. Okay, so for breakfast, my nutritional goal was a small cup of coffee. My mental focus was, believe it or not, was waking up on time. That was a big one for me. I want to shower and enjoy the morning, so not too stressed. Pre-race, my nutritional goal was drinking water plus amped hydrate until 15 minutes before the start. Take a gel 15 minutes before. What am I thinking? My mental focus? I need to go set up transition. Go over the checklist. So I bring a checklist to transition with me. Go to the bathroom. Stay positive. Stay calm. I am ready. For the swim, my goal time target is 31 minutes. My pacing is to start off at a controlled pace, stay left, and start near the front and have a steady effort. This is what I'm thinking. I know this lake. I am swim fit and it's only two loops. That's what's going on in my head. For the first transition, I put a goal of 2.5 minutes or 2.5 minutes. My pacing is a steady pace and do not rush. I'm not taking any nutrition, no water, no gels, nothing. And I'm going to start thinking about my transition during the last 100 meters of the swim and do not panic. And I have a question down here is whether I use the strippers, yes or no. And I ended up using the strippers. But again, this is my race plan. So I just put that in here as a question, yes or no. That's something I could decide on race day. My bike goal time was 2 hours and 20 minutes. My pacing was to start off slow, get my shoes on properly and feel comfortable, and gradually increase the pace and keep power at 200 to 210 watts and watch my heart rate, keep it around 160. My nutritional goal is to take a block every 10 minutes and finish 2 bottles of hydrate. Use the watch as a reminder. I'll also be taking 3 licks of the base salt whenever I feel tired. And I'm going to be thinking about my cadence, spinning, not pushing the pedals, and asking myself, well, how relaxed am I? And telling myself to stay aero and reminding myself I am fast, stay calm, and then let the other riders go. For the second transition, I gave myself 2 minutes. My pacing goal is to be steady and smooth and not rushed. My nutritional goal is nothing. My mental focus is to be steady. Do not throw the bike or the helmet. Stay in control, breathe, put shoes on properly, hat, number belt, baggies, and it says God, but it should, I'm gonna just change that to go. Okay, so then I moved on to the run. My target for the run was 1:35, an hour 35. And my pacing goal is to even split. Run each kilometer 4 minutes 30 seconds. And run the last kilometer as strong and fast as possible. My nutritional goal is to drink at every aid station. Take 1 to 2 blocks at each station. Put ice in baggies and lick the salt, like the base salt, 3 times every 20 minutes. My mental focus is to concentrate on breathing. Focus on being smooth and in control. Smile, wave, and high five everybody I know. Post-race, I want to drink 1 bottle of water and then start some solid intake. Every 2 hours, eat a small meal or snack. Congratulate those that finish in front and behind me. Stay positive no matter what my time or place. Congratulate myself for a good race. Okay, so that was the race plan that I set for myself for the Calgary 70.3. Now what we do, and again, I recommend you to do the same thing when your big race is coming up, even if it's not a big race, even if it's just a small race, it's worth it to take the time to print this off and then fill it out. I've asked many people to do it just the last few weeks, and they always reply saying, Todd, you know what? Thanks for asking me to do that, because I feel much more prepared having done that exercise than not having done the exercise. And I was surprised to get that back. I mean, I know it works, but it's also nice to hear that positive feedback from the athletes. So now that we've got the race plan, my race is over, let's go and do some post-race analysis. There's a table below where you can fill out. And I just filled this out this morning. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you about, you already know my goals, and then we're going to see, well, how did I do compared to those goals? For breakfast, my nutritional analysis. I was up at 4:30 a.m. I put the time in there too, because it's nice to know that when you go, if you do this race again the next year, it's nice to know, well, what time did I get up? And was that enough time? And so if you have this all already printed off, then you can go back, pull it up and say, oh, 4:30, let's do the same thing. Because then you don't have to think about it. It's one less thing to worry about. My nutritional analysis for my breakfast. So I was up at 4:30, out the doors at 5:20, and I had coffee at 5 o'clock. And then I had a successful bathroom break, so check. My mental focus, did I stick to the plan? Yes, I did. And remember, my mental plan was just to enjoy the morning, wake up in time and shower, and so that was good. Let's move over to the pre-race. The pre-race nutritional analysis. I was sipping on my water and I had a waffle before the start, so that's good. My mental focus for the pre-race, now this was a little bit of a question mark for me. I was cold due to a wet wetsuit. Now this is a funny story. I had a lake swim class on Friday evening, so we swam in the lake. My wife and I switched cars. So when I was done swimming, I put my wetsuit in the trunk of her car. Now I forgot about that until Saturday evening at 8 o'clock at night. I'm like, wetsuit, 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 trunk. Had to pull it out of the trunk. It's still wet. I put it out on the deck to see if it could dry, and there's no way it's going to dry. But it was sort of dry, but sort of wet, if you know what I mean. So the morning I was putting this wet wetsuit on, and I was shivering. Before the start, I was actually shivering. And because of that, I was shivering, I did not want to go into the water to get colder, because I asked one of my athletes, I said, hey, Kent, he did a warm-up. I said, hey, how are you doing? How was the warm-up? He said, Todd, I'm cold now. So I said, and I thought to myself, I'm not going in the water and getting colder. It's not worth it. So my warm-up went out the window so that I could stay warm. Kind of funny, right? The swim. My time was 32:13. My goal target was 31. So I was slow by a minute 13. My comments here was that I got hung up on the corners of the first loop. Other than that, the pacing was steady and I started well. My mental focus, I just was not happy going around the corners. I was able to shake it off and I was able to focus on having a good, steady, strong stroke. The transition, the first transition, I was 2:21. My goal target was 2:30, so I'm under by 9 seconds, which is good. Now I used the strippers, and it just made sense to me to use the strippers. And I felt good, and I felt strong. I did, though, feel a little bit confused where the route was. Because I'm so used to exiting at a certain spot that they pushed us farther down. And I'm just a little bit confused of where I was. Nothing to do against the race, it was just myself. Once I got to my bike, I was able to put my helmet on, grab the bike, and go. I stopped the bike after I crossed the mount line and made sure that I correctly mounted it, and then off I went. So that was all good. The nutrition for the first transition was nothing. The mental focus, I stayed calm during T1 and focused on getting out as quickly as possible. Some athletes are in the way, but I said, excuse me, and then on my way. And again, it was really nice to hear people cheer me. Go Todd, go, I love that. So if you see me out there, cheer me on, because I love it. Let's go on to the bike. The bike, I completed the bike in 2:16. My goal was 2:20, so now I'm under 4 minutes, which is great. Now I felt strong during the first loop. I focused on perceived effort and staying aero. Now I was watching the road for debris and rock, because I found there's a lot of like rock and gravel on the road, so I had to be very careful not to hit any big rocks. I did not want to have a flat tire. Now I found that after the turnaround After the turnaround, my pace slowed. We're going into the wind, so a bit of a headwind, and I started to feel tired. And I found that more people were passing me, and I was starting to get a little bit bummed. But what I did is I focused on my pace, looked at my heart rate, looked at the power, said those are all good numbers. For me, this race was a stepping stone for my Ironman that's coming up. And I shifted my head, going, you know what? I'm not racing in 70.3. This is a stepping stone for Ironman. So I got myself in the right headspace. So if people pass me, I'm like, that's okay. That's okay. You're doing your own race. And that was very important for me to stick in my own mindset, or stick in my own space and not worry about other people. For the nutrition, I lost one bottle during the second half. I didn't even know I lost it. I reached down at one point and I was gone. I think I finished just over one bottle for the entire ride, and I took in 9 cliff blocks, and I was taking in salt. I was using the base salt every 15 minutes or so, and I had no stomach issues. Now, I found that I stuck to my plan for the most part, except for the first half where I just wanted to race and push the pace. I enjoyed the flat course and the tailwind. The second half, I started to get a bit down as people passed, like I said, and I felt so slow, but I used the metrics to keep me focused. And the other thing is, I think I don't usually have coffee in the morning before a race, but I did because I really wanted to get through the bathroom. And I found that I had to pee, oh my gosh, so bad. I had to pee like a racehorse. And I see people peeing on their bikes all the time, and that's a skill that I just can't do. I cannot pee my pants on the bike. I don't know what it is, but maybe I don't want to pee my bike, but I have difficulty doing it. Now, I want to take this one and go a little bit more deeper into the analysis. So let's go back up to my goal. My goal is to keep the power at 200 to 210 and keep my heart rate around 160. Now let's go into my data and let's see how I did. So right now I'm in Training Peaks, and I always put in more comments after that, so post-activity comments, so that when I go back for years later, I can say, well, how did it all work for me? Now, this is what I'm looking at right here. This is what's important to me, is all this data. If you've never seen this before, we have a bunch of different lines. This one here in gray that goes up and down, that's elevation. We're just going to get rid of that. We're going to hide it. The blue one here, it goes up in stepwise manner. That's just temperature. And just before we get rid of that, the interesting thing is you can see it started off low at like, you know, 9 or 10 degrees. And near the end, we finished off at 18 degrees. So it did get warmer throughout. What you could do is you can always make note of what you wore and put in the post-race analysis so you can go back. For me, because I'm making this video, I have a documentation or a record of it right now. And what I wore on the bike was a one piece. 10 degrees starting off was cool, but I knew it would get warmer. The forecast would be for 28. No rain in the forecast, so I just wore the one piece, helmet, shoes, and no socks. Now, let's go, what do we got here? We're gonna get rid of speed, because I'm not concerned about speed. Yellow is RPM, I'm gonna get rid of RPM. So that leaves us with two lines. We have red, which is my heart rate, and pink, which is watts. Right now, I'm gonna get rid of the power and just look at heart rate. And so if I go back to my target here, I wanna try and keep it around 160. So how did I do? What I can do is go over here to this heart, and I can look at the peak heart rates that I did. So if I go for 30 minutes, you can see that the peak 30 minutes is 162. If I go peak 1 hour at 159, and 2 hours, 158. So I would say that I did a really good job of keeping the heart rate around 158. And if I look at the average, my average was 157 for the entire bike ride, which is pretty darn good. I'm pretty happy with that. Now let's get rid of that. And we're gonna just show the power. Okay, so the power is now in pink. We're going to deselect these. And let's go back to my target. My target was to keep the power at 200 to 210. So now let's go to power. And we're gonna look at peak. Why not go 1 hour? So we're at 228. Just for fun, let's go peak 30, 234. So that's way up. And then for 2 hours, 224. So that is above and beyond what I was targeting. Now I just wanna tell you why I did that. Because you might say, why, if you're targeting Todd 200 to 210 watts, why did you average, the average was 221 watts. Why did you average 10 watts higher? And my reasoning is this. I recently just changed the battery in the power meter, and I often find that when I do that, the power readings are a little bit off. So I went mostly by perceived effort and heart rate. And I would look at the power numbers, but I knew that they would be a little bit off. And because I was riding with the power meter the last couple of weeks, the numbers seemed high. So I wanted to push it. If I pushed it, the numbers were high, I'd be okay with that. And because I have an Ironman coming up in a couple of weeks, I am going to retest myself and get my threshold values so the numbers are more accurate. So that's why the numbers I feel are off. Does that make sense? Okay. But when I look at that this data, I think I did a good job, especially with the heart rate. Heart rate was bang on, and sometimes I will just race by heart rate. And power can sometimes come secondary or vice versa. I usually focus on power or on heart rate. It depends on how I'm feeling on the day. Now let's go into the run analysis. Before we go into the run though, let's go to the second transition. And where I need to scroll down. I did the second transition in a minute 17. My goal was 2 minutes, so now I'm under by 43 seconds. Pacing that I want to do was steady and smooth, and it was. And I decided not to wear socks or use baggies. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about this, about not wearing socks. People ask me all the time, should you wear socks or not during a half Ironman? And I usually would say for a half Ironman, you should wear socks because there's a very good chance that you'll get blisters. You're running for 21 kilometers. There's a good chance you would get blisters. For me, I come from like an Olympic distance background, and I would never do a run with socks on because it takes too much time. For me, I got caught up in the racing for this race. I felt I was in a pretty good position in the race, and I wanted to try and keep up my ranking. And so what I did is I decided not to put socks on. And I knew that putting socks on could take up to 30 seconds, right? And it could take 30 seconds. And I decided, nope, not going to put them on, so I just put them on. But because I did that, my feet got kind of ripped up a bit. Almost the exact same spot, just on the outside of the ball of foot on both feet. So now they're just healing, which is, it's sometimes it's part of the race that you need to, you know, get some wounds to have a great race. So do I feel bad about that? No, I don't. But that was a choice that I made, and now I'm suffering the consequences. Okay, back here to nutrition. I didn't take anything in T2. And when I was going on in my head, that I am doing well, stay calm, quickly rack my bike, get out soon, and breathe. Now let's move on to the run. The run, I ran it in an hour 36. My goal was an hour 35, so I'm up 1 minute. I found that the pace was fast for the first 2 kilometers. We were running like 4:15s. I remember looking at my watch going, "Ooh, this is quick. This is quick. You guys are fast." And then I found that after that, it settled into a 4:30 to 4:45 pace. And it says here, I shuffled up the hill. There's a hill from the river valley up to the ridge. Now, I made a note here that said, great move to keep the heart rate low. What I do is, I know this route really, really well. And I've been thinking about this as I was running it in a week leading up to it. I was thinking, well, what am I going to do when I come to this hill? And I decided to shuffle up the hill. Instead of just giving her, I decided to shuffle. There was a guy right in front of me, and he was pushing the pace. And I said, I do not want to run that pace because I know my heart rate will go through the roof. So I held back, shuffled up the hill, and when I got to the top of the hill, I felt fine and more controlled. And I thought for sure, I thought for sure I was going to catch this guy. But you know what it is? I think he's like 20 years younger than me, so maybe he could recover quicker, but I could not catch him. He was a really good runner. I couldn't catch him. Let's go back to the nutrition. On the run course, I was taking water, pop, it was either cola or Pepsi, Gatorade at each station. Basically, what I would do, I'd take the cup and throw some in my mouth and then just keep going. I would try to take one of those Clif blocks at every other aid station. And I think I took in maybe 4 in the whole race, and I would take in salt every 15 minutes or so. My mental focus for the run, I was feeling quite good. I was surprised at how fast the field was. I mean, I really was, like, I wasn't making ground on a lot of people. Just a very, so fast. I was like, so great to be running with so many fast people, but inside I wish I'd be making more ground on people. But at the same time, I was also very happy to be running well at 4:30 pace. So I knew exactly where I was for the most of the race, like I said, home turf advantage. Now what I want to do now is let's go back into my data. Now we're going to pull up the run file. My swim is empty. Like, I don't have a swim file to show you. And the reason why my swim is empty is because my wetsuit, I find, like, the arms are so tight that I don't like having the wetsuit. I don't like wearing a watch when I'm wearing the wetsuit. So I usually have the watch off and I put it on during the run. I don't like putting the wetsuit over top of it either. I don't want to wreck the wetsuit. So I didn't swim with my watch on. And so I have no data for the swim. And I'm okay with that. Like, I mean, the race is recording your swim anyways. So that's fine. Now look, here we go. We are now looking at the run data. And we have 3 lines to look at. The green one, that's your pace in minute kilometer. The red one is in beats per minute, that's your heart rate. And the yellow one is RPM, revolutions per minute, and that is your cadence. Now, just by looking at this here quickly, you can see that it's pretty steady. So there's not a lot of ups and downs. There's one dip here, and that's because I actually stopped to pee. And there's a dip here because I'm running up the hill, so the pace goes down. Near the end, you can see the heart rate goes up a little bit. That's because I had a guy trying to chase me down. He got me too, but I was picking up as fast as I could, so the heart rate went up pretty high there to 173. Now, let's go back to my race plan. My race plan was to try to run even split and do 430 kilometers. Now, if I go back to here, we're going to go to pace, and we're going to look at 30 minutes. I did a 4:29, and for an hour, 4:30, which is good. And then for the 90 minutes, 4:38. So pretty darn close. In the back of my head, I know I didn't have it on the race plan, but for heart rate, I had this in my head, was I do not want to be in the 170s when I'm running. Anything in the 160s is fine, but I do not want to be in the 170s. When I am doing an Ironman, I try to keep my heart rate below 160 when I'm running. And so I know this is a shorter distance, so I should be able to be in the 160s and handle that for a short period of time. I can't handle it for a marathon, but I can handle it, especially in a triathlon, but I can handle it for a short time, like a half marathon. So let's go to the heart rate data and then see how I did. So for peak 30, 165, for peak hour, 164, and peak 90, 164. And the heart rate was really quite consistent, except for if we go with peak, let's see, 30 seconds, we're at 173, so that lasted a bit, even the last 2 minutes, maybe, where I'm really trying to give it all I got. Even the last 5 minutes, you can see, because my wife was yelling at me to pick up the pace, I increased from 165 up to 168, and then finishing to 171, and then up to 173 near the end, and that's all I had. So I think that data shows that I had quite a good race. Let's go back to the plan. I'm going to look at the post race. I'm actually going to go back to the plan, and one thing I found with the nutrition, the salt, like taking those licks of salt helped me a ton. So the base salt is really good and it keeps me going. I find, like, even near the end where I was trying to just push, my legs are starting to get tight and crampy. I take some salt that helps me allows me to keep going harder. My only downfall of the run there is I did not know exactly where the finish was, and I sprinted too soon, and my legs became very tight. and I could not respond when the athlete passed me. But that's okay. Once he passed me, I knew I can't get him. It doesn't really matter. And so I kind of shut it down, and then I try to celebrate as best I can. I'm an athlete and a coach who recommends to my athletes that when you cross that finish line, you put your arms up and you celebrate that day. I don't care if you came in last. You know what? You just accomplished something that most people will never do. So you need to be proud of what you've done, proud of what other people do. And I find that by putting your arms up is a great way to do it. So I really like that a lot. So my arms went up and I enjoyed that short little finish line that we had. Final thoughts on the race. Looking back in the race, this proved to be one of my best executed races ever. I was very pleased with that. Very happy with the time, placing, and I even qualified for the 70.3 World Championships. So overall, a really good race. Some areas to improve on. I think it could have been had steadier pacing on the bike. I could consider a more aggressive swim start. And I do need to remind myself that the run will be challenging and it will be over soon. So push the pace if I want to be more competitive. And always be happy at the finish and congratulate and chat with the other racers if they want to chat. Sometimes I find that I'm so exhausted at the finish line that I'm sometimes short with people. And so when they come up and chat with me, especially right after I finish, like, I don't want to chat with you. So I need to do a better job at chatting with people. I usually need a few minutes by myself and then I'm okay. But again, that's just fatigue. I'm tired, right? So if that happens, you come up to me, I just finished the race, I don't want to talk to you. Don't take it personally. Come back in 5 minutes and I'll chat with you. Another thought that I had was in order to be faster, I need to go into the race faster. But I find that the fitness that I had going into this race and the plan that I set out, I'm very happy with it. Like the target that I had for my race was 4:30. The goal was 4:30 and I finished in 4:29. So I was a minute under that, what I expected. And I think if you can come within a minute of your time for your goal time, well, that's pretty good. You gotta be happy with that. And I am happy. Now, I do recommend you to do the same thing for your next race, whether it's a key race or just a small stepping stone race. Take out this race plan, print it off, create your own race plan, take the time to do it. It helps you a lot, and then review it every day leading up to the race so that when you come to the race, you're like, I know exactly what to do. You're not stressed. You're not nervous. Where you go, and you do your things. On this race here, I had a checklist. I went in there, and I was like that guy. If you want to call me a dork, you can call me a dork. Pull it out of my pocket, open it up, and I'm checking things off. I go, okay, is my bike racked? Yes. Pressure on the tires? Yes. Yes. Spin the wheels. Are the brakes rubbing? No. That's good. A water ball is good. So I'm going through this whole checklist. Now I know that once I'm done, close it up, put it back in my pocket, I'm good. I can leave this transition area and go to my swim and then not worry about whether it's all set up or not, or have something missing, because that's the worst. Okay, that's it. I hope you enjoyed this video, and I will see you in the next video. See you later.